You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
All right, we got a unique situation here. We're been struggling with a different platform, and we kind of finally got a new one, but we're back here with another episode. It'll be a kind of cut and splice episode with me and Shelby, and then Shelby and Trey will be later on, but we're going to try to splice the whole episode. It's been too long, but sitting here with Shelby in person, we've been getting some in-person interviews.
Back in the truck.
We've done an episode there. If you guys have been following along, we did an episode in the truck one time, so we're back at it.
I think it was cold and rainy that day, too.
It was. We couldn't find a place in the library to do the show or whatnot, but hopefully this platform is a lot better. I think it gives you, what he said, an hour to do it, so our episodes might be... We're going to find out, so we're playing it by ear, but a lot's happened since then. I mean, a ton, you know, trying to get three grown men on schedules on the same day. It's been hard, so it's been a few minutes since we've gotten an episode in, but we've missed a lot and try to fill you guys in on a lot that's happened. We're going to talk about some of the championship sports that's gone on this summer, and then I think you guys are going to talk about some baseball later on.
Yeah.
Sound good? But starting off, I think last thing we missed out was the Women's College World Series. Tejas finally pulled it off. Old Mike White finally got his first one for Texas. Congratulations to Texas on an awesome season. Got hot at the right moment.
It's hard to believe it's only his first one. I know him and OU, they always jockey back and forth. You know, that's a heck of a program up there in Oklahoma as well, but it's like they just trade blows every year, and OU just scratches and claws and comes out on top.
Well, it just goes to show when you get hot at the right moment. OU swept them earlier in the year at home, three games, and then Texas takes them down second round of the College World Series, and then OU goes on to lose to, was it Tech on the other side? I do like the swap that Women's College World Series do. After their second round, they'll swap sides of the bracket to where you're not playing the same team for the – you got to beat the same team twice, where men's college baseball, they all stick to the same side like a regional, and they'll end up playing the same team potentially three times if they go to double elimination game. But I do like that, where they get to see a different team, get a chance to get back in there. But, yeah, Texas got hot at the right moment. Texas Tech, man, come out of nowhere. I don't think anybody expected them to make it as far as they did. But when you have
a million-dollar pitcher,
Najee Stop, or what do they call it? Najee Stop, or whatever. She's from Stanford pitcher. She's good, carried that team. Like I said, if they can add some hitting to their repertoire, they'll be dangerous next year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's going to be another up-and-coming program to watch. You know, like always, it seems to be the Big 12 and the SEC duking it out. You know, I guess the Big 12 can kind of say they kind of won that one since it's like a fresh change.
I was about to say, the final four of the Women's College World Series came down to Texas Tech, OU, and then Texas, and who Texas beat to go there? I'm trying to remember. It's been too long. Was it Oregon? Was it?
I don't think so.
Or wasn't UCLA?
UCLA got beat.
They got beat out early.
Was it Tennessee?
Tennessee, maybe. Yeah, I think it was. I think Texas beat Tennessee.
Because Tennessee had that powerhouse.
Yeah, so, I mean, technically, last year, three of the four were Big 12 at the time. So, I mean, I know you got OU and Texas with a new face in a new conference, but good softball all the way around. Like I said, Texas ended up taking down Tech 2-0 in the finals. Two awesome games, though. Texas just had it all together. They got a good team, great team, and put it all together at the right time, got hot at the right moment. Didn't they have a close call of Super Regionals? They almost didn't make it, but like I said, they got hot at the right time, getting into the tournament, taking down top-seeded OU and Texas Tech. So congrats to them. Mike White goes to show, you know, it's not just Oklahoma City's got an advantage, which they do because it's home, little home field advantage, but that's part of it. But yeah, congrats to Texas on a national, their first national championship.
Bravo. Now, on the other side of the spectrum was softball, baseball, LSU.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were favored to start the year or even towards the end of the year. I thought I saw where Arkansas may have been favored after Vandy and Auburn, those guys lost out. They were favored Arkansas and they just went cold.
Arkansas was the team to beat for sure. Now, I don't think anybody saw LSU coming out of there, especially with their show and regionals when they had to play Euler, Arkansas Little Rock. They gave them a run for their money at home in Baton Rouge. So I think everybody saw that kind of play and didn't really give LSU much credit. But hard-fought game. Arkansas, like I said, was the team to beat coming in. They're national two-seed. After Vandy went down in regionals, Arkansas, like I said, was the team to beat. They had a complete team, everything together. But Arkansas in Arkansas fashion, me being there in Fort Smith and Wupig Suey country, I'm telling you, these fans expected what happened. But
really?
Yeah, I think they expected it, especially from the 2018 World Series championship game dropping a foul ball. Last out to beat Oregon State, dropped it, ended up losing that game and then losing game three. Arkansas fans have just been immune to heartbreak. They're just ready for the wheels to fall off at any moment.
So can you say that they kind of like Cowboy fans?
They could be. They could be, of course, closely related. They do. Their state does touch, so there might be a little bit of remnants.
Well, Jerry Jones, too.
Jerry Jones from there. There's a lot of correlations coming in. Yeah, so they're all waiting for a national championship, trying to get what's that coach's name?
Van Horn.
Van Horn. There we go. Trying to get his first one.
I can't believe he's still there.
He's still there. So big news on that though. How about Murray State making it in,
dude?
Underdog.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for them. Good for them. You know, they went on one heck of a run, and essentially, I mean, they were beating teams they had no business beating. You know, it's the whole David and Goliath situation. They were, you know, obviously the David going against everybody and turning it on. And I think once you get to that stage of the College World Series, you're going to, I guess, finally meet your ultimate matches. You know, you had Coastal Carolina coming in. They had won some absurd, like 20-something straight.
26, 5 or 6, somewhere in there.
You know, they were on an absurd run. And you got the LSUs and the rest of the field. So it was, if they would have gotten any further into the World Series, I mean, even getting there is considered a win. You know, it just hats off to that program, those players, and that coach for having them ready to play day in, day out.
Yeah, I mean, you coming from a small D1 school in Kentucky, you know, 8,000-seat. Stadium, and I heard that the coach does not cut the grass. That's what they said. There was a big rumor going on that the coach even cuts the grass. He's like, no, I don't. So, but still, you look at their stadium compared to LSU's or compared to Arkansas's, it's just one of those to where that's the beauty of college baseball and the World Series, to where anybody can make a run. They went through a hard regional. They end up beating Duke in a super regional.
I try to forget about that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one. But then they faced a tough was it Coastal right off the bat, and then Arkansas. Was it Coastal? No, Coastal was on the other side. They faced UCLA and then Arkansas. So on one side you had LSU, Arkansas, UCLA, and Murray, and on the other side you had Oregon State, Louisville, and then you had Coastal and Arizona. And got to make it up there with Dad. It was pretty awesome. First time being back since playing there in 13. But that was just awesome. It worked out perfect where my 2 days off from the department was on. Drove up there one day, caught the game that night, stayed the night, drove back the next morning. Coaches there at Louisville got us some tickets right under the shade. I'm telling you, if you buy tickets there, get it underneath the first level. It's the best because all those people were roasting out in the outfield. But you can't beat the World Series. And I know Rosenblatt had a different feel, different vibe, atmosphere.
I got to experience the Rosenblatt. I was playing summer ball. We're actually up in the Nebraska for a tournament, and we saw the Clemson-Nebraska game. You're talking about a rowdy crowd that night. It was ridiculous. That's a heck of a stage to go watch. You know, I don't remember if Khalil Green was there. Maybe it was around 2002 that time. You know, so there were some names there that were playing. I think Gordon may have been in Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska. That's when Nebraska was rolling too, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Early 2000s. I got to experience the Blatt in 2009. Arizona State was there. Texas was there. LSU won it that year also. It was a fun year getting to see that. And like I said, it's just different atmosphere. I mean, Charles Schwab's field's beautiful right in the middle of downtown. Amazing facilities and amazing hosts, but it's a fun time. It's an experience for sure. And if you've never been up there, I highly encourage it to try to get up there and watch a game. But it is a blast. But yeah, you had a bunch of teams make some runs. You know, Louisville was in at number one against number one Vandy. It seems that we always end up playing Vandy somewhere down the road. That's just because our proximity, I guess. We're 3 hours from Nashville there at Louisville. Took them down with Wright State with an upset in the playoffs, you know, during postseason. I mean, there's a lot of good ball going on and a lot of upsets, and I think that's pretty awesome for the sport. And I think you mentioned it. I want to hear your argument about what your thoughts on reseeding. Reseeding. Would you just reseed after regionals? Would you reseed after super regionals or just for the World Series? What's your thoughts on that?
I think after the regionals. You go in. I mean, I think there are enough ranked teams to play unranked teams or – you know, I don't know how they were, or if they're going in correlation to where the school is, or if their overall ranking, or what it was. But it just seemed to me that there was some a funny schedule because for instance, you have a 3 and 4 playing each other, but also there were 2 unranked playing each other. It's like, so how is that mixing and matching up? But because if you typically go to any style tournament, you're going to have, you know, a 1 versus a 20, a 2 versus and you just trickle down all the way like that. So, I mean, it's my thoughts, but I mean, it also adds to the fun of it. It's like, okay, well, you're going to have a no seed coming in and, you know, a 5 seed could end up beating a 2 seed and the 5 seed's going to get it and, you know.
Yeah, keep having upset after upset.
You can have it all. Great pay. Awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
I think you lose the chances even more of the already low percentage of it happened of a Murray State's if you reseed, because then you would have had a Murray State playing in Arkansas, and we saw how that went with Wood throwing a no-hitter in third in World Series history. Would have had the perfect game, but one pitch in the eighth or ninth got away from him, hit him in the toe, and I think he would have struck that dude out. He would have had a perfect game, but still, no-hitter in the World Series. And even though it doesn't matter who it is against, that's still an awesome achievement. But like I said, you would have had them playing, Arkansas playing Murray State in a super regionals. And like I said, it lowers your chances of a lower seed making it. I kind of look at it as the NCAA basketball March Madness, where if you reseeded after every round, you know, you'd be seeing your one seed playing your lowest seed every time. So that was those one seeds, which there was one seeds made it all the way through this year. They would be having a cakewalk all the way, not a cakewalk, but an easier path all the way through to where you do have these 2 unranked teams or Louisville, Miami and super regionals to go to the World Series. You know, somebody that's not in the top 18, you know, and I think it's fun for the game to get those Murray States in there because you could see the wave of everybody back in Murray State making it in there. You know, everybody loves a good underdog story, and I think that helps the sport in general, just having those kind of Murray States in there.
So let me ask you this. You don't think that if you have a Murray State playing in Arkansas, you don't have Arkansas already looking ahead to the World Series and taking them lightly?
They could.
You know, it's like, oh, well, this is a cakewalk. We're just going to do enough to get by. And all of a sudden, they're getting shocked.
They could. And that's part of it, though, too. You could have, I'm not saying it's impossible for Murray State to beat in Arkansas, right. But as we saw in the World Series, Arkansas, just the odds are the better talent, you know, is going to win. Right. Not all the time, which is the beauty of baseball. I think more than any is underdogs win more times in baseball because you never know. You have one good stud on the mound, anybody can win.
Right.
And
that's the thing with when you know you're the better talent, so then you play down to a level.
Mm-hmm.
The other team has confidence because, oh, hey, we're playing with this team now. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's harder to turn it on after you've played down because now you hit panic mode.
Yeah. I'd say that goes towards the coach then, you know, get them in a place where they're not or they're prepared to not play down to their opponent, you know. I mean, you could say, you know, after regional, you reseed, go into super regional, say, hey, we have two games to make it to the World Series. Let's not take it lightly. Let's, you know, mm-hmm. beat them to a pulp type thing. So I say that comes down to your coaching to where if you are playing an underdog or someone that you don't want to overlook, that'd be on them to get them prepared and get them ready. Yeah. So, I mean, I get the idea. I see both sides. I just think for the sport, it'd be it always keeps it a lot more fun to where you get those random underdogs that, you know, no one gave a chance to. You know, you had a bunch in there. Arizona wasn't supposed to make it. Louisville wasn't supposed to make it. Murray State wasn't supposed to make it. I think UCLA might have been a top 18 seed. But then a lot of people were complaining that Arkansas was playing LSU right off the bat in the World Series. But you had 64 teams, and it came down to those two. You're going to have to play an LSU or Arkansas in a super regionals or somewhere along the way. And man, like I said, that game to get into the World Series with Arkansas, if nobody watched that, it was a heartbreak. It was a Greek tragedy. Fighting back and forth, Arkansas take the lead, LSU come back. Arkansas take the lead, LSU come back. Arkansas up 2 in the 9th inning, and a poor left fielder misread it, tripped and fell and hit off of him and scored 2, and they tied it and then ended up getting a base hit the next and winning it and going to the World Series and ultimately winning it all against Coastal.
You know, and people are quick to blame the left fielder. Let's go to a series of events of the first baseman making a bad throw to the pitcher on a PFP. Simple throw, get the out. Let's not forget the shortstop bypassing the 6-4-3 double play and throwing it to third base.
My thought process on that was he had it in his mind that if he went to the right for a ball, he was going to third. But he didn't realize how hard the ball was hit, and he moved only like one step to the right. They showed the screen, and when he threw it to third, that runner wasn't even in the lane of throw that the shortstop was being filmed from. So he wasn't even halfway down the baseline. Could have easily ended the game right there. And then you never know what happens on game 3, you know, winner take all.
And that's something as a middle infielder that you tell yourself, if I'm more than this many steps, I'm going this way. If my momentum is taking me that way, but hard hit ball, I mean, you're one step, field, pivot, throw, redirect. I mean, it, 6-4-3. I mean, it's done.
I think being around Arkansas fans when that was happening was that they saw the writing on the wall. As soon as that happened, they were just like, we might as well turn the TV off now. Like, it was just one of those where, like, the game should have been over. Yeah, the game should have been over. It's not. We gave them another chance. And what happened? Disaster. But LSU went on to play Coastal. Another thought for you. Thoughts on the umpire tossing coach in elimination game of the World Series. First inning. And first base coach. So you lose your first base coach and your head coach. What's your thoughts on that with the umpire?
Hey, don't blame him for another man's athletic ability.
Yeah. I don't think he should have got suspended, 3 games? He's got to serve 2 more at the beginning of the year, right?
Well, no, I think they're looking into
returning. Yeah, because you look at – bring up video review.
He didn't touch it.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to appeal it. I mean
– Yeah, I would. So umpires all gather up because they're chewing each other out. The coach goes – to get to the umpire that threw him out, and another umpire runs up, trips and falls over the other umpire, and then the coach got fined for 3 games for touching an umpire or something or pushing him over.
Yeah,
and
like he didn't. What do you
mean? You watch the video and the replay, and he never touched him. He just tripped, and he's head coach said he can't be faulted for another man's athletic ability, which is an ultimate.
I went back and saw a deal on those umpires, and I said a former big league guy behind the plate had a quick trigger. when he was in the big leagues, had a quick trigger to toss people. And half the time they said coaches and players didn't know that they were arguing, the umpire would start it. So you have guys like that that obviously are making it about them, not making it about the game. You're in a championship situation, a championship series. You can't be so quick to toss somebody. Now, if they're coming out F you, F that,
yeah,
MF, or then, yep,
you're gone. CSer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's automatic.
I think you can give one CSer.
Depending, but knowing that guy.
Or it's a CSing call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on the context.
Yeah.
But I feel like you got to read the room.
Yes.
Elimination game, championship, last game of the season if they don't win. And he did give him ample time to, you know, get back in. But still, I think you got to go in your head knowing that, hey, I got to take a little bit of heat here. Like, it's got to be a definite yes, he crossed the line. And for your line to be so soft, like, it was just like, it definitely changed the whole outcome. I don't know, like LSU, not discrediting LSU, but when you lose your head skipper, that's kind of a Dan Campbell-esque coach. He gives off that vibe to me. Uh-huh. Yeah, headstrong, gonna go to war with him, you know, gonna go war for your players. You lose that mind and that voice in your dugout, you know, it does deflate. And Coastal, man, looked like a totally different team once they got to the championship. I mean, like you said, 26 straight coming in, taking down Arizona and Louisville. Did they play? Yeah, Oregon State took down Arizona, Oregon State, and Louisville. Three straight games in the World Series. Looked good, looked solid. I think they averaged 8 runs a game. And then that first-round draft pick from LSU, well, I forget his name, that lefty,
yeah,
held them to one hit or one, not even one run, it was 1-0. Held them no runs, yeah. Came in and shut the door, and pretty impressive. That's why he's going to get paid big bucks here this month, right? Draft this month. I do really like that they moved the draft to July. When we played, you can tell that, like, half our team that was going to get drafted or had talks with people, they're too worried about the draft was going on when we were driving to Vandy for mm-hmm. a super regional, and they're on the bus, which was cool experience. You know, you're on the bus. One guy gets a call. Hey, I just got drafted by Detroit Tigers, or hey, I got drafted by Miami. You know, we're sitting there celebrating with them on the bus, but you could tell, like, regionals, you know, hey, am I going to get that call tomorrow? Am I going to get that? You know, so it was just a lot on your plate, which you should be able to handle as an athlete, student athlete, and at that level, you know. But I just think it's a lot better in July. Plus, you put more money in your pocket. You show out. You Murray State guys, they're now transferring to these big D1 schools now, you know, or they're showing out, which I hate that for the program, and I hope they reload and get back there. But you show out, you have a good World Series, man, you should up your draft stock, you know, yeah. And vice versa. You can make it worse for yourself, but I'd rather be playing, saying, hey, I'm working towards it, instead of saying, hey, I might get a call tomorrow. You know, is my game going to falter because I'm waiting on a call? So I like that they moved it to July.
For sure. And it takes a pressure off some of these kids. You know, they're going out there, they're playing. But in the back of their minds, like, oh, the draft. And so they start forcing things. They start trying to be a player that they're not, and end up hurting themselves in the long run. And then, you know, say they fall out of the first day of draft picks, and all of a sudden they're shell-shocked and they don't know how to handle that.
Yeah. Yeah. But congrats, LSU. That's their fourth or fifth World Series? Fourth or fifth?
Yes.
I think they're tied now, fifth with someone. I think USC's got the most with like 12 or something, and then LSU just tied somebody for 5 or something like that. But congrats to them. Another win. Like I said, I've been to 2 World Series that they've won it. So if you want to pay me to come up to the next World Series you're in, I'm more than happy to. Just give me seats and a place to stay. 2 for 2 on going up there and you guys winning it. So congrats to LSU and another SEC team. I think that's what, 5 straight, 6 straight?
Something like that. Florida.
SEC teams in a row. Yeah. LSU won 2 out of 3. I think they're the first team to win 2 out of 3 since like 20 years, 30 years, something like that. So fun time. Love it. Excited. That put a wrap on college baseball until next February. So on to our last subject, NBA playoffs, baby.
Same still sport.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is LeBron still even relevant?
He's got one more year. He's signed for like 1 year, $54 million with Lakers, I think. I think he took the option.
Yeah, I guess they told him that if he walks in LeBron, then Bronny's cut. So I guess he had to come back for one more year.
Yeah. Yeah. They got him now. Hey, we got you as long as you can, you know. But Yeah. Congrats.
All you need to know about the NBA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oklahoma City Thunder won the championship.
Didn't you call, though? Didn't you say Pacers Thunder? Remember you said there's the off-the-wall one? I was saying Thunder, Cavs. I wanted to see the two number ones go after it. I think Trey said Thunder and Celtics. And then I think you said you had to go random. We're choosing between Knicks and Pacers. And it ended up being between Knicks and Pacers. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, if we go back and watch that last episode, you said Pacers. So you had it right. I mean, heck of a run by the Pacers. I don't think anybody except for some Pacers fans saw that coming.
I would like to see how that final game plays out if Halliburton doesn't get hurt.
I agree.
I'm not saying the Pacers win, but I'm also not saying it was going to be a, 15, 20
point. It would have been a dogfight. Yeah. And it was just one of those where, as a Thunders fan, I hated to see it because I didn't want it to be any excuses of hey, their best player went down and now it's going to always be leave a stain on their championship. But still, the credit to them. They won. They made it through Memphis. They beat Nuggets. They beat Timberwolves, and then they beat the Pacers, you know, and everybody's saying, hey, well, this guy was injured, that guy was injured, you know, but still, you got to go in and beat those guys. You got to beat Jokic. Beating Jokic is not a joke, pun intended. Beating Ant, you know, going to Minnesota, they're good at home, but throughout the whole year, they won 80-something games, 84. They're the top three or four most wins by an NBA champion in history. They were always leading. Their defense led to points. I think they're number one in defense throughout the whole year. Great team. And be careful. They're just getting started. I mean, they got 10 or 15 more number one picks through 2030, something like that. They just reloaded with another number one pick or all this stuff. They re-signed their whole bench, I think they said. Or everybody that played on the championship team has been re-signed. They just signed SGA to a 5-year biggest deal in sports history. I think it's 74 a year, even more than Shohei's. I think I wanted to hear it said. It doesn't touch anywhere near Ronaldo's deal, which...
Is that the Supermax or whatever they call it?
Yeah. So he's there for 5 more years at least. And I think he likes it there and wants to stay. But like I said, like you said, it was... I hate to see that with Achilles injury with Halliburton. Man, hearing himself some respect.
He came out on fire, too. He was...
3 or something like that?
Yeah.
3.
He came out on fire. He is playing hard. And I think I saw something where they confirmed that he won't play at all this next year.
Achilles is, what, a full year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to do it on the last game of the season, you're missing the whole season, you know, to where if you did in the middle of the season, you could at least come back for the next half and... but yeah, a full year. Achilles injuries have been coming more prominent, or are we just now becoming more aware of them? Is it just so much power that now the Achilles is the weakest link of everything with all these new strength and training and all this? It's just,
I think everyone's hamstrings are becoming more, Achilles are becoming more. It's just, I mean, people, they're worried about the explosiveness and the power and the strength that they're losing their flexibility.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're not being trained right. I just don't think they're taking the proper precautions to prevent this stuff.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, you have a calf injury. You're going to baby the calf more and rely more on your upper and lower extremities. And like we said, the ankle was probably the weakest out of everything. Your thigh's going to be stronger. So when he went to baby that calf, as soon as it happened, I said, that's an Achilles. So you see that pop and that reverberation through the whole calf, automatic, especially the pain. You could tell that it was on his face that he went down. Man, like I said, I hate to see that. I think SGA went over there and talked to him after the game and when it happened. You just don't want to see that when you're competing. You know, as a competitor, you want to play against the best and beat the best. And like you said, it's going to be the biggest what if of the 2025 NBA championships of what if Halliburton stayed healthy. Like I said, you don't know. He was getting hot at that time. Don't know which way the game would have went.
You know, I think overall, I think the Thunder would edge it out. But like you said, it was going to be a back and forth shoot. It could have been an overtime game. But at the rate it was going with Halliburton and how he was playing, you know, and then the way the team rallied as much as they could when he left, I was like, okay, they're still making it a game. I think they just ran out of gas there at the end.
Yeah, I don't think my heart could have took an overtime game. I mean, all those games were stressful, man. It was as a fan, it was stressful. But they're young, second youngest team to win it, I think, behind like the 74 Blazers, Trailblazers or something like that, when they averaged, I think, Thunder were 23.7 years of age, where the Trailblazers were 23 years of age average between the whole roster. But I'm excited to see what happens in the future. I mean, I think they're the heavy favorites coming in next year. Rightfully so, keeping the same core, keeping the same group. They're only going to get better playing together more and more. And there's already been a lot of trades going on. A lot of these other teams that they played against have already kind of lost a few players here and there. So I don't know. As a Thunder fan, I hope it's a dynasty. I know nobody likes dynasties. They end up being the villains. Anybody who wins it too many times ends up becoming the hated, most hated team. But hey, I'll take some championships. As a born and raised Oklahoman, you know, it's our first professional sports championship. And I think the state really embraced them.
Which is hard to believe when you had Durant and Westbrook and those guys. Like, how did they not?
Harden.
Yeah.
You had SGA. You had Ibaka, I think, at a point. You had a group, yeah. Blew a 3-1 lead. Could have won it then, you know, and I think that was a big heartbreak for the state itself. But this team will go down as yet the greatest team in Thunder's history, which I think there's mixed feelings between giving Seattle a championship or not. Some people are saying yes. Some people are saying no. I'm saying no because they're not there anymore. You know, they're not a part of it. They didn't want them, so they moved. So they're trying to say, like, who had the most championships, you know, or between them, or they could share it. Or whatever. I'm like, nah, you moved out. You're done.
sorry. You didn't want a team anymore.
Yeah.
You didn't want the Supersonics.
But other than that, I mean, some great games, man. It was fun to watch.
Just watch out for that sleeper team next year.
Yeah, that'll happen. There are a lot of people saying that it was the most, like, unwatched finals. I didn't ever see the numbers or whatnot, but I thought it was some good basketball games other than maybe, like, a game five that was a blowout or something.
I guess because they considered the Pacers as an...
They call them both low market teams, but like I said, if you enjoy the game, you enjoy the sport, you know, I enjoyed watching it. It was fun. And it was pretty physical for the most part. A lot of physical game.
I'm just glad we didn't have to sit there and watch the Celtics just throw three after three after three. It's just like, come on.
It's been a change because you had the Steph Currys, the Golden State Warriors, you know, shooting most threes in NBA season and winning championships. You know, it's a lot of outside shooting to where this was more of a lot of driving and get to the hole, making moves, screen and roll or pick and roll. You know, it was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. And I know if you didn't, you're probably the team that got beat out and didn't enjoy your team got beat. So never seen so much trash talking online, but hey, it's okay. Your team lost. They'll be back next year.
Well, your team had the best player in the NBA.
That helps. Play. That helps, yeah. He's one of four players to win the shooting title, conference title, NBA, MVP or something, the four awards you can get. And I think there's two other players, but Jordan won it twice, and then someone else won. So he's one of three players to do it, and it was the fourth time it's happened. So congrats to him. Great player. I'm glad he's sticking around for another five more years. So Thunder will be in the talk for the next few years coming up, especially with the way their GM's handling it. Get that man some money. He's doing a great job.
Just don't let the Mavericks GM.
Stay away, Nico. Stay away. Oh, thoughts on that. You trade away your best player and you get the first round draft pick with a 1.8% chance of getting the first pick. What's your thoughts?
One, it was fixed. And two, definitely thought he's going to trade it away for Bronny. I mean.
Yeah, he could have. It would have been about even, wouldn't it? But, yeah, I think that's twice that's happened. Where was the other one that they traded and then got the number one pick?
Was it the Knicks?
Someone did that, and they got the number one pick after they traded the face of their team or whatever.
Was it the Ewing draft?
The first round pick. So, a little fishy, but, hey, they're getting Cooper Flagg. I think he's one of the best players, you know, up to date.
I don't know. They're saying with some of the moves they've made that they're – a favorable playoff team.
You got Irving, Davis, and Cooper Flagg on a team.
Can Davis stay healthy?
I don't know. That's your big question.
And Kyrie's coming off a knee surgery?
That's a big question, too. Yeah, you hear these names, and they're great names, but then again, how long they've been playing? You know, that age factor becomes a factor. But we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, they got the number one draft pick, Cooper Flagg, and we'll see how good he is. He's only, 19? He's playing at Duke at, 17 or 18, wasn't he? Just turned 18 or something
like that?
Tearing it up. He's a different breed. So excited to see all these new faces getting in there and what they do. And next season will be – shoot, what do we got? We got some football this month, don't we? Someone said something about the end of the week, end of the month. Someone said this is the last the end of the month, I think two teams are playing. I can't remember. I didn't think it was this early.
The Hall of Fame game?
Is that what it is? Hall of Fame game?
Maybe.
Okay, yeah, I think it is. Yeah. So, football's right around the corner. College football's right around the corner. NFL spring training will be starting. All that stuff, so.
Over or under two concussions for Tua?
I think if he has one, he's probably done. So, it might be, yeah, he might not make it to a second one.
Thursday, July 31st, Chargers-Lions Hall of Fame game.
Told you it's in the month. Didn't know it was Hall of Fame game, but yeah. There you go. So we'll have football at the end of this month. And then we'll get on our fantasy. Get some football talk in. I'll let you guys get some baseball talk in. And, I think that's it.
Why don't you tell the people where you're going for a couple weeks?
I'm disappearing to Kenya, seeing the in-laws. We're about to fly out. We're about to head to the airport here in about any time now. And be back on the 30th. So we're going to go down there. My family's already in Egypt. And they're going to meet us down in Kenya and visit my in-laws. So we'll be down there in about 70, 80 degree weather, Kenya. It's winter down there on their side. And get away from some of this heat. I'm looking forward to it.
It hasn't been too terribly bad, other than the five days of rain that we just endured.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Jordan. Yeah. You know, hearts go out to the people in the Hill Country for that unfortunate tragedy that struck down there. Like, it kind of gives you a feel of 1987 again when they had the same thing going down there and they had a church camp and they were rescuing people. But once again, you know, you can't take away from the situation and people that are talking, oh, it's, you know, so and so's fault or it's this, you know, person's fault. It's like, no, that crap needs to stop and let these families mourn the losses and
just give it a rest, man. Be there for the people, be there for their families, the lost ones. It's a heartbreaking incident, and just come together. That's the main thing. Yeah, and they just don't understand where there should be no finger pointing. And then if there is something wrong with it, let it come out later.
Yeah.
But just right now, just give it, you know, that grieve it. Let people grieve. Yeah, and it's heartbreaking.
It's not a Republican or Democrat's fault. It's not a Trump or Biden fault. It's a disaster and unfortunate, you know, event.
Last I heard, what was it, 59?
Something.
Up there. Mm-hmm. And still 20-something missing. But, yeah, that's all for me. I think Shelby and Trey are going to get on here in a minute, talk some baseball. But that's all for me, and I had fun. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Catch you later. I don't know if Trey's got in this or what, but over and out.
All right, we're recording. Well, this is take two of the High Heat podcast. The first section of it is Matt and Shelby talking the sports highlights from the truck, taking Matt to the airport to, where is he going? Egypt and Kenya.
Yeah. Wow. His parents, I guess, her family was in Egypt, and then his wife's family was down in Kenya.
That's fantastic.
If I think so, yeah. I took both of them to the airport the other day. So while they're finishing up some packing, we sat in the driveway and rattled off about 30 minutes worth of highlights and catch-ups and everything else.
Great. Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't remember when the last episode was that we recorded, but it has been a minute.
It has. Yeah, there's a lot going on with us, you know. I mean, studying for promotional tests, you working your butt off, and vacations for everybody. So it's that summertime, though. We're allowed to have a life during the summertime. So
yeah, and a new baby. So Ellie's two weeks old and probably upstairs right now with mama eating.
Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody what the little one's name is?
Yeah, Eloise Lauren Hellman. We'll just call her Ellie for short. Similar to Alex, she's Alexandra Shea Hellman, but we just call her Alex. So we like those.
Like it.
We like those classic names. You can just shorten them up while they're kids.
Absolutely, they sound good too. Yeah. And even for their life, think about Alex and Ellie as well. So it's they're very unique and very distinct names. They come with a lot of respect behind them. So.
Yeah, I like it. And Bren's middle name's Lauren, so we picked Lauren there after nice. Bren. Yeah. Well, we're going to jump into MLB highlights. We're inching closer and closer to the MLB All-Star break. So let's just touch on real quick where the standings lie. National League on the East, we've got the Phillies leading, Chicago Cubs in the Central, and the Dodgers, no surprise there, in the West. In the American League East, we've got Toronto Blue Jays, who've just ended their 10-game win streak. They lost today 2-1. Detroit Tigers, probably the most underfunded team, well, besides Miami, Pittsburgh. I guess they're Oakland. Yeah, there's a couple other AAA, quadruple A teams in the MLB. The Tigers seem to be one of them, but they're leading the Central, and then the Astros in the West, which is a surprise. I think everybody had the Rangers.
You know, Astros are doing something right, but, I mean, whenever you're talking about the armpit, I mean, you can't really distinguish or elaborate too much on them. But, man, the Rangers are pitching. They are pitching better than anybody. And, you know, kind of to segue off a little bit, you know, Nathan Eovaldi getting snubbed out of the All-Star game. I know he had a little injury, but still, for qualifying pitchers, he's leading or in the top 2-3 in statistics. But I tell you what, that starting pitching, the Rangers is carrying them. And then, you know, some of their middle guys pretty good. There's back end is a little inconsistent periodically, but I don't know. They got to figure something out with that hitting. They either need to ship a couple bats out and get two, three more in or something. I mean, this is just unprecedented from what we saw basically in spring training whenever they're all hitting.
Yeah, Eovaldi looks great. Their team ERA is 3.23 here. Inching closer to the All-Star break. Jacob DeGrom also, he's healthy. It's amazing to see what he can do when he's healthy. He's 9-2.
Seen him hit triple digits the other night.
Wow. He's definitely the ace when he's healthy. And then to have Nathan right behind him, wicked 1-2 punch.
See if they can get Mally back. You know, I guess he had another arm injury or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, even him, 2.34 ERA, 6-3. That's what you need from your deeper guys.
And even Patrick Corbin, you know, Corbin, although his numbers don't really reflect it, he's putting in good starts. No, he's going deeper in games. He's giving the bullpen spell. But he just has some bad. It's not like he's giving up rockets all over the field. It's when somebody gets on and a couple CNI hits or basic base hits. But it comes down to it. You got to have run support for these guys. These guys are going out there shoving, doing their job. You've got to give them run support.
You've got to have run support. Their team batting average is 230. I mean, we're 2 years off of a World Series championship team. The lineup looks very similar to what took them to the championship that year. But I can't tell, like, what's changed. They've made a change to their hitting coach.
Yeah, you know, coming in, they made the change of the hitting coach. Boom, right out of the gate. You saw it. I think they put up a bunch of runs that game. But it's just, I don't know if they're just being overly aggressive at the plate or thinking too much. There's some discord, some disconnect there that they need to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, you know, we've got to be more disciplined, per se. You know, we're chasing. I think they have a high chase rate. You know, I watched a little bit of that game last night. They were chasing balls down and out of the zone. Then all of a sudden you see them, they settle down, they start drawing a couple walks, and then the floodgates open. It's like, okay, that's a tale of two teams in one inning. They put a four spot in the third or fourth inning after a couple walks, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, you know, from undisciplined hitters to disciplined hitters, you see what can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. When they get on base, too, they're dangerous. They're fourth in the major leagues in stolen bases with 83 on the year.
That's wild. So
if they can get on base, I mean, they're a threat to score.
Exactly. I mean, the other night I sent you all that stat, and they're still leading the league in fewest runs allowed, but 322.
It's incredible.
You've only scored 358 runs. I mean, it's almost a miracle that their record's not worse. Yeah, you're in the conversation with the Rockies, the White Sox, the Guardians. I keep wanting to call them Indians, the Pirates, you know, even the Royals. I mean, the Royals came in and held the Rangers quiet. It's like, oh, I mean, you can't let that happen.
No, you can't. And they've definitely, I mean, if you look at the roster and how they've constructed it and where they put their money, they put a lot of money into that rotation. Maybe they're just too top heavy and they need to spread the wealth out around the hitters. You've got Semien and Seager taking up a lot of cap space. Who, I mean, are they really carrying the team? Are they playing what they're getting paid?
Yeah, I think a lot of Semien's struggles early was because Seager wasn't healthy. You have them up at 1-2. Well, Semien gets a little protection because, okay, well, they're not going to do something to mess around with Seager. Okay, so they're going to let him hit the ball. Well, then he gets on, and all of a sudden you got a runner on with Seager. Well, Seager's hurt, hamstring a couple times. Which, you know, to my next point, I think they need to have the conversation with him. Hey, you're too valuable to this team when you're on this field. Why don't we step away from shortstop? Let's go to first base. Let's DH. Let's learn a couple of new spots so we can keep you on the field three quarters of the season and not have to spell you so soon, so often. You know?
Yeah. And Seager's had a hell of a MLB career, so surely this is just a down season.
And I guess, well, he had the hamstring. He had that was a rib injury, oblique injury, or whatever it was. And those things kind of linger. But I think in his mind, him coming back, he's thinking, well, I got to do more to help get this team going. Which, I get it. We've all been there. You know, you're the dog of the Rangers. You know, you are the guy that's supposed to be their offensive production is supposed to be their stud. Well, you're going to put extra pressure on yourself. But I don't think anybody saw Peterson starting off and having the year he had. You know, that's the guy usually hits, and he was not hitting.
Yeah, he's fifth highest in salary on the team behind DeGrom, Seager, Semien, and Eovaldi. It's Jock Peterson, and he's really not pulling his weight either. So You've got – that's basically three dead bats this year. And then the rest of the team, I mean, you've got some young, controlled guys, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, Josh Jung, and Josh Smith. And Josh Jung, they just demoted.
Yeah, soon. I mean, he started off. I guess he came out, and then he had an injury as well. Came back, and he just hasn't looked like the same player. Really, neither has Langford. He hadn't looked like the same guy. You know, he was – off to a rolling start, and then kind of fell off. So I don't know if you get Young rolling again, you get him confident, bring him back up. I don't know that you don't almost do the same thing to Langford. You know, let him clear his mind a little bit, take some pressure off, and see what happens. You know, it seemed like coming up, Evan Carter started off good. I haven't really kept up with the stats that he's doing, but it was nice to see him back in there after – you know, like a year of just back troubles.
Yeah. And it's just concerning, too. I mean, this is the same roster that took them to the World Series.
But they're also sitting around the same spot they were that year that they won it. So, fingers crossed, there's some hope.
That's a great point. Maybe it's just a team built like the Spurs. We're just going to take our time, and when it comes to the playoffs, we'll sneak up on everybody and win.
Yeah, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That'll proverb that people like to say, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but no.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
At some point, you're going to have to get rolling. You can't just play this lackluster, you know, lame duck offense the whole year and expect your pitching just to carry you. Because, I mean, pitchers are human too. They will have a game where they struggle. So you're going to have to do something to help them out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And along with that young talent, I mean, there's other young talent coming up within in the league. Maybe it's worthwhile to trade for some of those younger bats to fill out the rest of the roster or to give them some energy to get to the playoffs this year.
Right.
Stay healthy. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think one of the best things for Semien was dropping him out of that leadoff spot. You know, they threw him down in the five hole for a little bit, let him get his traction, let him get going. Now he's back up in the three hole and he's still doing well. I mean, he's come up from well below the Mendoza line to hitting 230. I mean, he's been hitting close to 400.
He's
attempting to salvage a year. He gets on one of the streaks that he's known to go on. He could finish up in the 2-6.
Especially from the three hole. And as a leader on the team, if he gets hot, hopefully the rest of the team gets hot.
Exactly.
What about the catching staff? I mean, you got Jonah Heim behind the plate. Is he somebody that's still helping the team? I mean, another one from the World Series team. They've got his backup.
Yoshioka?
Yeah, sitting there. I mean, they seem to be defensive specialists. They held the pitching staff out with their elite framing. The bats, though.
I mean, they're both hitting 227. You know, the days of catchers controlling the staff, you know, not being the best hitters. I mean, Cal Raleigh would say something other than that. He goes, hold my beer. Almost 270 was 36, you know, up at the break. But, you know, Heim, 8 home runs, 25 ribbies, hitting 227. Higashioka, 2 home runs, 22 ribbies. Hitting 227. I think if you get some more bats in there, you don't have to worry about those guys needing to pull their weight. Hey, you give me 225 to 250 at the plate, but you control our staff and you put them in positions to win, I'll sacrifice that spot in the lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, most catchers are hitting 230 to 240 anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And catchers being elite hitters is rare.
It is, for sure. I mean, Pudge, I think
that's
at this
why,
point.
Guess that's why they turn you into a catcher.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's you have a catcher that has an eye behind the plate. To me, I always love catching. If I'm catching, I'm getting to track pitches, too. I'm recognizing spin. I'm seeing stuff. But also controlling the run game, controlling the pitchers, you know, it helped me out as well. Because then I came up to the plate, like, oh, well, you know, scouting report is this, and this, so... Here's how they're going to pitch me. I think some guys may not have the, I'm not saying they're dumb. I'm not saying they're incapable. I'm just saying they don't utilize that capability that they have to help themselves, like the Yadiers, like the Pudges, and like those guys that would come out and hit 300 every year. You know, but, that, I mean, were there extracurriculars involved? No one will ever know. But,
good point.
You have a DeGrom, you have a Uvalde, you have a Malley, and, you know, Corbin, you know, I guess your rocker and your lighter. I guess you have those guys, and you give me somebody that can control them, I'll have some extra leeway with my catchers.
Yeah, and if rocker and lighter become who everybody thinks they can be and what they've shown at the college level and in the minor leagues, if that clicks in the big leagues for them, they've got the talent. They've got the arm talent.
Leiter's already shown a glimpse of it before he had that blister issue.
Yeah, yeah. Then there's your next two guys coming in to bolster that rotation. And then as guys age out of this lineup or injury prone, I mean, you got DeGrom in there. Again, if he gets hurt, you need one of these guys coming in.
And that's why I like what they're doing with DeGrom so much is they are being very conservative with him. You know, they gave him a chance for his no-hitter. So that first hit, hey, that's it, no more. You're done. We're not risking it. You know, he's been on a really tight leash, and I can respect Bochy for that.
Yeah, and he seems to be fine with it too because he's not being a bad locker room presence or, you know, disrupting the system that Bochy has in place.
Well, he's a veteran guy. He's been around. He knows he's had some pretty significant injuries the last couple of years, few years. I mean, so... I don't think he himself knows that he doesn't have much room to argue. I mean, he is a gamer. There's no doubt in that. But I think he ultimately knows what's best for the team, and that's him on that mound as many times as he can, but not going deep in games for less games, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And how we're talking about catchers, I mean, one catcher that doesn't need any offensive help right now, Cal Raleigh, is absolutely going berserk.
Man, what a diamond in the rough.
What a diamond in the rough. Yeah, and did anybody expect this? I mean, you think Ohtani, Aaron Judge will be leading in home runs come All-Star break. Did anybody say catcher, Mariners, Cal Raleigh? I don't think so.
36 home runs, 76 RBIs, you know, 1,029 OPS.
Wow.
You go average, you know, I mean, 268, that's 63rd in the league. Home runs first, RBIs second, and second in OPS. Bravo, young man. I mean, that's a switch hitter at that.
Yeah, I think the whole reason that the Mariners are where they are in their standings is you can attribute a lot of that to his production being number two in the West.
Yes, very much so. And he has shown out. You know, I wish I could find the metrics and the breakdowns of right-handed versus left-handed for him being a switch hitter. Here we go. Versus left-handed hitters, he's 14 home run or left-handed pitchers. He's 14 home runs versus righties, 22 home runs. So, I mean, for 96 at bats versus lefties, 232 versus righties, that's pretty good split right there.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, hitting 333 right-handed and what is it, 241 left-handed. I mean, I'll take it.
Good for him. Yeah, and that's a guy that you need in the lineup when you're dealing with the Astros and the Rangers and their pitching staff. So you need a guy that's making that solid contact. And is he going to be participating in the home run derby?
I don't know. I saw something the other day. Like when he was a kid, they had a deal for him that, you know, he's like, hey, I'm the home run derby champ. And now it's like they're saying, can dreams come true? So it kind of gave me the inkling that he was.
I'm certainly looking it up. I can't remember. I've seen it flash up on ESPN so many times a day, and I cannot remember it. But yeah, Cal Raleigh is participating.
Fantastic.
James Wood, who has been an outstanding hitter this year for the Nationals, one of the worst. He can slug the ball. O'Neill Cruz, who when he hits a home run, it goes 120 miles per hour. Junior Caminara. Yeah, from the Rays. And I'm trying to figure out how old is he? He's 22 years old. Great. It's good to see some young guys in there. So now I see DJ LeMahieu in here.
He just got designated for assignment.
He did. So maybe that's it's the DFA that I'm pulling up here in the news. So yeah, he is not in the wouldn't that be some crap? Yeah, you're in the home run derby, DFA'd.
It's not anymore.
So that ought to be a great home run derby.
It should. I'm eager to see how it happens. You know,
I'm going to be cheering for James Wood.
Are you?
Yeah.
I can't believe O'Neill Cruz is there.
Yeah. You know, what do you think about that one?
I think he is a locker room problem.
Okay.
I mean, I've been kind of keeping up with it. He got pulled from a game and I guess benched another game the next day because of lack of hustle, lack of effort.
Did see that, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that they're playing the Rangers and he missed the ball in center field, didn't go after it, and the right fielder had to come all the way over and get it. So, I mean, that's all the signs of someone that's checked out and is trying to get sent out of Pittsburgh.
I mean, why would you want to be there? And Skeens is another piece that might be looking for a new home. I don't think he's actively looking for a new home, but maybe through back channels he's like, hey.
Yeah, I think he's going to let his pitching talk for him, you know, and I don't think that he's a guy that the Pirates will ultimately be able to afford when it comes down to it because they like to play the small market team.
Yeah. And I think he's rookie until 2029, so they've got no reason really to let him go.
No. Or to trade him. Unless you get a great return from him.
Yeah, which, I mean, what are they going to do with it even if they get a great return? Have the Pirates ever done anything? Not in a while.
I mean, they had that 20 straight losing season record there, you know, for a while.
Who are you rooting for in the home run derby?
Man, I got to take the switch hitting catcher. I got to root for him.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to.
Cal Raleigh. Yeah. Do it, man.
And I'm glad to see Byron Buxton.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad to see him getting back on top.
Yeah, it's good when some of these guys are able to stay healthy throughout the season and you can actually realize their potential.
Mm-hmm.
And it should turn into a good payday.
Yeah, for sure.
Which wouldn't be with Minnesota.
You know, speaking of outfielders or, you know, players looking to get out of where they are, Brian Reynolds with Pittsburgh. You know, he's made it known that, you know, I guess he wants out of Pittsburgh. You know, he has the no trade clause. I think Yankees, Mets, Giants, Dodgers, and there's two other teams I can't think of. It's like six teams. And they're talking about on 105.3 today. No, it's six teams, and they're all like high tax areas. So, like, okay, so are you doing this on purpose, or are you doing this to try to get a lecture? Are these teams going to say, hey, we'll give you $1 million of cash if you waive this no trade clause?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I see that. Yeah, no trade clause to six teams, but he's under contract until 2031 and $6.75 million extension that he signed in 2023.
Yep, and right now.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I mean, these players don't realize that, well, if I tank, I can get out of here, they'll move me. I was like, no, because if you're tanking, nobody else is going to want you.
Yeah, no, nobody else is going to want you. But also, if you sign these big extensions for a team that's not motivated to get out of the bottom of the record. I mean, Pittsburgh Pirates doesn't seem to be motivated. At least their ownership doesn't seem to be motivated, right? And now you're tied to that team, and you got one life and one shot at this thing. You make the major leagues, and you do great for the Pittsburgh Pirates. May not be a Hall of Fame career, but if you could do that same thing for several other teams, you know, it might be a one way pass to Canton.
No, yeah, for sure, and. You know, another guy that has been cancerous, Rafael Devers, in his latest no-show event.
Really? He's got one for the Giants? I missed that one. And Cooperstown, by the way. I said Canton. I've got NFL in the brain already. It's time to start fantasy football.
They both start with C's. You're fine.
But Devers, yeah, tell me more. I've missed this. I mean, I've tuned him out since he got traded away from the Red Sox.
So apparently over the weekend, Will Clark was in town. And they asked him to work with him at first base. And I think it was like 2 days, Devers no-showed him. So, you know, Will, he's very boisterous, very opinionated. And he said next time he's in town, he doesn't care if you have to go in and grab him by the neck, he will be on that field. So, I mean, I don't blame you. You got a guy like that was a excellent first baseman that can take it with the best of them. Yes, sir, what do you want to say? What are we talking about today? You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Will Clark, right? Didn't he? Yeah. Hall of Fame Will Clark?
Former Texas Ranger Will Clark, you know.
Yeah, he's a problem.
So, yeah. So Devers, I mean, after his first meeting with the Giants, you know, I'll do whatever they need me to do. I'll play wherever they need me to play. And then, boom, already showing your true self. Showing up.
Crazy.
A fantastic ball player, someone that could hit, someone that could play defense.
What does his contract look like for moving over to the Giants? Did they just assume his contract from the Red Sox? Or the Red Sox still pay him out?
You know, I'm not very sure. I don't think I ever saw like the contractual details of that.
$250 million in a stunning move. The Giants took on all $250 million of Devers' contract.
Wow.
Yeah, that Silicon Valley money must be.
I guess if you have the money, why not?
Yeah, just printing cash out there in San Francisco.
Yeah. How much are they going to try to defer and be like the Dodgers?
That's a good point. But they are sitting in second place behind the Dodgers, so.
Yeah. Doing something right.
Yeah, and it's surprising with the Padres and how much talent that they stack on that team, and they still can't put it together. And should all these teams just fold? Like, I felt like most teams did in whatever division Brady was playing in. Like, any other teams were just like, Brady's here. Let's wait till he retires to even put together a team. And the ownership just makes money in the meantime. Should most teams in the West do that? I mean, the Rockies kind of already are.
Right. Yeah, the Rockies are something else, right? I don't even know where to start with them. That's just an atrocity. And
21-71 is impressive,
to say the least. Especially, I guess they had that 3-game win streak or whatever it was.
Yeah, they told the White Sox, they were like, hold my beer. I can do better than that.
Yeah, and I guess their manager's like, oh, it's still a young season. Don't count us out. Come on, really?
Wow.
Really? I mean, that was after, was it Bud Black got removed? So
think about coaching that team. I mean, talking about no pressure.
So I don't know why they just don't do what the Rays did several years ago. Just bring up all their young guys. Say, hey, here you go. It's y'all's team.
Yeah, Dave Sanders. 5 years, $29.5 million. Rough life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's one of the seats in the MLB you could just put anybody. Why?
Yeah. It'd be frustrating to go out there and lose that much, but if I'm making $5 million a year, okay.
I'm happy for Dave Sanders, but...
Yes.
But at the end of the day, is he really making a difference to the Colorado Rockies? There might not be anything he can't do. And I wonder what those discussions are like with the GM and ownership. When he's just like, we're giving it our all.
Here's what he's doing, just nodding and said, yes. Yes, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Well, the Blue Jays. Yeah, go ahead.
Talk a little about the Guardians. How did they fall off so drastically?
I do not know. That's another team that I'm not paying much attention to. I think the Guardians had some up-and-coming players that they were pulling out of the farm system to start on that MLB roster that just have not flourished at the MLB level.
Something happened, because you go from, I guess, what they did last year to, I mean, this year. You know?
Uh-huh.
I don't understand. I don't understand. A lot of, you're all professional athletes. You all have capability. I mean, yes, some may have more capabilities than others, but you should be able to be competitive. You should be able to be, I mean, they went 92-69 last year.
Uh-huh.
And
well, Jose Ramirez is doing his part on that team, but he might damn well be the only one. Stephen Kwan.
It's a Kwan.
Pitching staff. I guess pitching staff's been underperforming. I don't think Bybee's been putting it together. I don't think Logan Allen's been putting it together very well this year.
So, I mean, what, they're 90 games in?
Yeah, you're right at 90 games in.
And they're 42-48. You go from first in the division, now you've fallen to fourth, and you're 15 games out.
Yeah, it's not good. I am trying to maneuver around to find some pitching stats, and I'm getting hit with the ads left and right here on MLB.com. Just, oof, it's rough. Rough website here in MLB.
Yeah, that's why I just use the Googles and don't go straight to a website. So let me ask you this, if what's his face in New York? Problem child with the Pirates, Astros, Cole. Garrett Cole. If he doesn't get hurt, is the Yankees season, how different is their season?
I mean, if you look at that division and the underperformance of the Orioles and the Red Sox right now, yeah, I mean, that could be a difference of 10 games if Cole's healthy and pitching. Now, the Yankees are getting to churn some young farm arms that are performing at a high level. Eventually, somebody might stick, but you always have that Cole's just going to come back next year, and then the rotation shrinks back down. Opportunities reduce,
right,
at least for another season. But yeah, then the Yankees are probably right where the Detroit Tigers are.
So, yeah, very much so. You know, Cole is one of those very emotional leaders of that team. He's always been a fiery guy, almost to the point that he seems like a prick on the field. Ever since he was a rookie. I mean, but he's got that desire. He's got that fire and that passion that he wants to go out there. He wants to be his best every time. And if you're going to try to take him out of a game where he don't think he's done, good luck, because he might fight you on the mound.
Yeah. And he'll just rear back and throw 100 at you.
Yeah. So they do have that aspect. Yeah. I mean, he may be in their dugout and everything, but being in the dugout versus on the field, is completely different. But what about All-Star Game? I think there are a lot of new faces this year.
There are a lot of new faces, and I think there's just as many people that didn't make it, snubs, this year as last year. You had mentioned some, at least one, Eovaldi from the Rangers, that's not on the roster, which is strange. But yeah, I'm going to pull that up here on the side.
And the thing that kind of drives me wild is, like, you play 162 games. Why are we past 90 games and the All-Star game hadn't been played yet?
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't shifting. It's always July.
Yeah.
And so, and the season's not starting any earlier. Have they compressed something earlier in the season to hit this mark earlier?
I don't know, because it seems like every Monday is an off day.
Well, and then the playoffs go even further. I mean, it's not just October anymore. They're in November playing.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know why we need to go into November, because November in the Northeast is garbage. November in the West Coast is garbage. You know, November in the North is, like, around Milwaukee and all that. Detroit is garbage.
Uh-huh.
You know, so why are we doing something, reinventing the wheel, even more so in baseball, and going into November the way we are?
I certainly don't know.
To me, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, October baseball is phenomenal to me, and then you have November, December, January. So now you have 3 full months, and then you report pretty much Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
You know, so what's wrong with 3.5 months versus, okay, so now you're done the second week in November. Now you got 2.5 months.
You know, that's a great question. Have 90 games been played before the All-Star break? I mean, is that the average?
I mean, yes, some teams are like 94 games.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered, it's like, okay, so if we're doing the All-Star game at the halfway point, so shouldn't every team be at 81 games? Boom. Okay, there's your halfway point. And I think a lot of it comes into, they have so many 4-game series now.
Yeah, I'm trying to look that up. Yeah, MLB teams typically play around 90 to 96 games before the All-Star break. For instance, in 2008, the Red Sox had completed 97 games before the break.
That's wild. So I guess, July 15th is the All-Star game. That's in Atlanta this year, isn't it?
Yes, Truist Park. That's a pretty place.
Is it?
Haven't been, but I've heard from people that it's a nice park. And even just watching it on the TV, it looks like a really nice park. But we can run through the American League starters. So we've got the great Cal Raleigh. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. playing first base. I don't know how you feel about that one. Gleyber Torres, second base for Detroit. Jose Ramirez, third base, who has opted out. Jacob Wilson, shortstop for Athletics, which is a hitting machine. Aaron Judge in the outfield. He's Aaron Judge. He needs to be on it. Riley Green from Detroit. Javier Baez from Detroit. And Ryan O'Hearn from Baltimore. Those are your starters for the American League. There's some reserves in here. And I mean, the reserves look strong. Alejandro Kirk, Jonathan Arenado.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Alex Bregman, who has risen back to playing a great season. Jazz Chisholm's in there. Yeah. Brandon Lowe with Tampa Bay. Jeremy Pena with Houston. Bobby Witt Jr. from Tampa Bay. Isaac Paredes, Houston. Zach McKinstry from Detroit. There's a lot of Detroit on this roster. Byron Buxton, Stephen Kwan, Julio Rodriguez, which I didn't think he's having a great season. And Brett Roker for the Athletics.
All-Star game anymore is the popularity contest.
Sure, sure. I mean, fan vote.
I think the players and coaches should vote the starters, because they're more involved. They're playing against each other. They know the player better. There's a lot more that goes into just popularity. You know, so you're telling me that Lowe doesn't deserve to be the starter over Guerrero Vladdy Jr.? Because there's been a big argument about that one.
So, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero is the name. So there's some namesake there because of his father playing there. He typically has been a good player. He is a home run hitter, so it's exciting. Chicks dig the long ball. He usually has a pretty good average. He's just a reliable first baseman. But you're saying there is actually somebody that you think should be there ahead of him.
Just going off things I've read and things that I have seen. I don't keep up with the Blue Jays. We're in the wrong part of the country. We don't get
there. Yeah.
Nope. You know, we're in the wrong part of the country to see the Rays every day. All I do is I go off of seeing what the Rangers have played or highlights. So I just know that there are some people saying that maybe there should have been another starting first baseman. Personally, I like Vladdy Jr. He's a good ball player. He is. I mean, he's Mr. Consistent. I mean, it's I didn't mean to say low for first base, but Aranda for the Rays. That's low. I was thinking the old low from the Rangers, and then we were talking about the Rays and National League, and like his brother popped into my mind. But I mean, Jonathan Aranda is hitting .327. 11 homers, 49 ribbies, and a .901 OPS.
Well, so do the reserves, is that set by the coaches and the players?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I'll have to look that one up. What about Matt Olson, though? Matt Olson for the Athletics. How's his season been?
He's with the Braves.
Oh, that's right. He is with the Braves. That's okay. Yeah, because I was just thinking Mr. Consistent, but
yeah.
He's with the Braves, and I think he's having an off year this year.
But and then you look at Vladdy, I mean, .276, 12 home runs, 46 RBIs, .820 OPS.
Huh.
I mean, so I'm sorry, Aranda has him in all but one category, and that's by one home run, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and like your typical, like, Paul Goldschmidt with the Yankees, I don't think he's having an outstanding year.
I mean, Matt Olson, .267, 17 homers, 58 RBIs, .854. Like you were talking about, so I went and looked because the Braves are playing the A's.
Gotcha.
But you were talking about Goldschmidt.
Uh-huh.
He's still hitting over. Is he still hitting over 300? 291, just under.
Okay, he's having a fine year.
So 291, 8 home runs, 34 RBIs, and 784 OPS.
So just less than what he's been in the past.
Yeah, but he's still pushing those. No, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about Rodriguez, who's hitting below 250, 247, 11 homers, 44, and a .695 OPS. They just released a guy that was hitting identical to him, and Rodriguez makes the All-Star.
Interesting, isn't
that? I mean, it shows you right there. It's like it's the popularity contest of the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's typically not always your most deserving. You know, I'm not saying these guys don't deserve it, but I'm not saying that every time they should be starters.
So the starters are entirely chosen by fans.
Yeah. I think you let the fan vote for reserve.
And then reserves are picked by player ballots. Player coaches and managers vote to select them. And the commissioner's office gets to select some players as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the players are more in tune with the game. I think they're more in tune with who deserves to start.
Oh, yeah. They know who they hate to pitch against. They know who they don't like to face.
Yeah.
They know the guy that they're nervous about when he comes up to bat with bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think it adds a more true detail to the game, because they're more directly involved and correlate better to the game. And I'm not saying the fans don't watch, but the fans are fans. They have their favorite players.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like telling me, it's like, okay, so A-Rod or Kevin Elster, you know, while Elster may put together a better year 1 year, who are they going to choose?
A-Rod.
Yeah, because he's a bigger name.
Yeah, name recognition. Starting pitchers for the AL, Hunter Brown, Chris Bubik, Garrett Crochet, Jacob DeGrom, Max Fried, Yusei Kikuchi, Tarik Skubal, who is a freak when he's healthy. Good Lord. Shane Smith, Brian Wu, and Joe Ryan. That's solid.
It is.
Relief pitchers, Aroldis Chapman, who is back in action all of a sudden.
Fuego.
Josh Hader and Andrés Muñez.
Munoz for Seattle. National League starters, Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, Ketel Marte, Manny Machado, Francisco Lindor, Ronald Acuna Jr., Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, and Shohei Ohtani. It's really interesting to see the names that are in the American League. They seem younger, new. National League seems like where the players have transitioned to the National League.
Where they go to die?
Where they go to die, other than Pete Crow Armstrong, who is hopefully has a really great career for the Cubs.
So there were three names that were in for the ML shortstop. It was Lindor, Betts, and a young one. Who's the young guy? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Not for the National League.
Yeah, it was the National League. Man, that's going to drive me up a wall. And people were like, so why does Lindor or Betts or this or that, why are they getting the nod versus this young guy? And I cannot for the life of me remember.
I have no idea.
It may have been C.J. Abrams.
Okay.
The shortstop for the Nationals, hitting 2.812, 31, and an 840 OPS.
Well, it's impressive what the Padres offloaded to the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, was it? It was, wasn't it? Because they got Soto, and that was in the trade, and then Soto left.
Yeah, it was in the trade for 1 year, wasn't it?
And now Soto's the Mets.
Went to the Yankees, and then went to the Mets after that.
Yeah, because the Nationals got James Wood, C.J. Abrams. Hell, there's two other.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And then, you know, with Betts, who was pushing for the starting job, 246, 11, 45, and a 701 OPS. And then let's find
Mackenzie Gore, who is finally living up to his bill.
All right. So, who did you say? Lindor?
Yeah,
Lindor. 260, 18, 51, and 788.
That seems a little low for a shortstop.
You know, to me, C.J. Abrams should be the starter and Lindor should be the backup. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because it should be going based off of merit and who has done what in the first half, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I used to always pick an all-star team.
I mean, you know, voting for the American League, and focus more on the American League because of the Rangers, and then so I'm usually rooting for the American League. I certainly focus on what was the best team build out in my voting to win. Because I wanted them to beat the National League.
Yeah, it's too bad the Rangers and Astros aren't separate leagues anymore, you know? So, yeah. I think 2 years ago would have been the chance that you had a Ranger-Astro World Series.
Yeah, stolen bases. I don't want stolen bases. I'm having a heck of a time doing research here live.
What are you looking for?
I wanted to see who the top performing shortstops were in the National League this year.
Gotcha.
It took me to MLB.com, who then ranked everybody by stolen base, which was obviously what I was looking for. And everybody wonders why we keep asking AI for help. Reserves, Hunter Goodman, who's having a great year for Colorado as the catcher. Pete Alonso for the Mets. Ellie De La Cruz. Brendan Donovan. Matt Olson is a reserve. There we go. Eugenio Suarez, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Stowers, Fernando Tatis Jr., James Wood, and Kyle Schwarber. The Schwarbs, man, he's sending some bombskis.
Heck yeah, Schwarbomb.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your stolen bases for your shortstops, are you wanting national or American, or just in general?
National. National, it doesn't need to be stolen bases. It's just who are the top performing shortstops over there by?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go fielding percentage by shortstop. Mason Winn for St. Louis.
Yeah, I've got him on my fantasy baseball team. He's doing surprisingly well.
Allen from Atlanta, Swanson from the Cubs, Betts, Perdomo, Bogarts, Kiner Falefa, Lindor, all the way down after Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Yeah.
You know, then you got Turner. So, yeah, I mean, you got to dig down in here to find some of these guys. C.J. Abrams is below all them. So are they dinging him for fielding percentage when he's offensively better than the other two guys?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we go over to batting for shortstops. Obviously, Jacob Wilson leading the way. Rookie phenom, 335. So you have to get all the way to number four to find the first National League shortstop. Yeah. And that's Trey Turner.
Okay.
At 294. Then you have Edwards from Miami at 292. Abrams, third National League shortstop, 288. So then you go all the way down to Ellie De La Cruz. Way down. I mean, he's 2, 4, 6, 8. He's 10th on the list. And then after that, I mean, Lindor is about 15th. So, yeah, I mean, you're falling all the way down here. So it's you know, I'm solely looking off the ESPN app right now. It's breaking it down that way. So, and if you go off of it, because you said Pena from Houston was the backup shortstop?
Yeah, Jeremy Pena for Houston, who's had a good year. I traded him off my fantasy team because I needed some help to build out. But, yeah, Jeremy Pena has a 4 WAR. He's behind Kyle Tucker and Shohei Ohtani and more this year. So, yeah, he's up there.
So if you go off shortstop performers in the American League, Jacob Wilson, number one, Jeremy Pena, number two.
Where's Bobby Witt Jr.?
Three.
God dang. That is a solid, that is some solid shortstops.
Yeah. I mean, one, two, and three. You can't go wrong right there for who would be the backup. In my opinion, Jacob Wilson is the top shortstop in the American League, so he gets the nod. That's my opinion. It can be subject to change.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you take Xavier Edwards and C.J. Abrams as your number, or even Trey Turner, as your 1, 2, and 3 shortstops in the National League? I mean, they line up just like that. I mean, you got Wilson, Pena, Witt Jr., and then the next three are Turner, Edwards, Abrams. Just like that. I mean, that's why I like the fan vote, but I don't. I mean, you want to give the fans a vote, then you take the popularity vote, and you make them like an automatic bid, like they did with Judge and they did with Ohtani, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you do the popularity vote, and then you do the reserves. The starters should be the overall top performers.
Well, then you look at slugging percentage. I mean, again, you've got Bobby Witt Jr., Jeremy Pena, Corey Seager.
But does he doesn't qualify, does he?
And I don't know. Then Zach Neto and then Jacob Wilson in slugging percentage.
So like, if you have a qualification for these guys, you know, and then you take the average, you take whatever other metrics they want to take, on base plus slugging, you know, slugging overall, you take any of it. I mean, Jacob Wilson's only struck out 26 times and has 20 walks. I mean, that's damn near a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, they're comparing him to Tony Gwynn.
Yeah. I mean, his dad was the same way. I played with his dad, Jack Wilson, in the Pirates organization. We were teammates for a little bit on rehab assignments.
Yeah.
Dude, down to earth, dude. And you're talking about a defensive player. Oh, my goodness. That boy can play. And you see where Jacob learned it from, because, I mean, Jack could handle the bat. He could just barrel up balls. But his deal was defense, and goodness, it was fun to watch him play.
So why don't you have a kid in the majors yet?
I'm not as old. You're good.
Yeah, the more I'm looking at this, C.J. Abrams, that's a snub. I'm fully on board with you there, man. Looking at his stats, finally, thank God for Baseball Savant. I can get that to work and actually rank some players the way I need them to. Shortstops, here we go. Woba. Yeah, C.J. Abrams having a strong year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it seems like he's been a fairly consistent player. I mean, it's the Nationals got what they wanted.
Is anybody going to the Nationals games? Is anybody paying attention to the Nationals? I guess this is an indication they're not.
Beats the crap out of me.
Yeah, me too. Should we move on from All-Star?
Let's do it.
All right. Looking through what's next on our list. I did want to talk about the Blue Jays, their 10-game win streak, but they've lost it today, but they're leading their division.
They ever take the Yankees?
Who did they lose to today? I don't think it was the Yankees.
No. The Mariners and Yankees playing right now, but I know the Yankees and Jays are in the same.
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
They lost to the White Sox.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, Toronto Blue Jays are 54-39. Yankees are 50-41. So that goes back to the discussion of Garrett Cole was pitching. They would be probably the number one in the league there.
Blue Jays had 9 hits in 1 run.
Ooh. And a lot of double play balls.
your starting first baseman had zero of those hits.
Wow. Well, that stinks. That's not normal for him.
Oh, double play, fielder's choice, and ground out.
Dang.
Yeah. Man.
Well, but he's already got his head ready for the All-Star game. That's why. But yeah, other than the Blue Jays, I mean, I think that's the only good thing to talk about, the Blue Jays. I don't pay attention to the Toronto teams. Clayton Kershaw, 3,000 career strikeouts.
Who's
had
that?
A baby.
That guy's still playing?
He is still playing, and he's the commissioner's legend pick for the All-Star game. His 11th All-Star appearance.
Oh. You know, pride of Highland Park?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Him and Matt Stafford were buddies and teammates?
Yes.
Good for them.
Put together long careers. Yeah.
Right. I'd say one's a little more healthier than the other, but... Or less beat up. I'll say less beat up. How about that?
That's going to be tough, man, being a quarterback in the NFL, just getting your
block. Are you talking about off. Before the Brady days or after the Brady days?
Well, yeah, it seems like after the Brady days are about as bad. He had the one good year, and now it's that's kind of seems like a sinking ship.
Well, I just wonder how many of these quarterbacks would have lasted in the Dan Marino, the Steve Youngs, Joe Montanas, Aikmans, and all those eras.
So that's your point. Yeah. So the pre-Brady. So you got the pre-Brady, then you've got the Brady, and then you've got post-Brady, where now quarterbacks can't even be touched. And it's almost like flag football.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Brady era, where Brady could not be touched.
Yep.
And then, yeah, you've got the pre-Brady, where you could clothesline a quarterback.
So would this be considered the Mahomes era now, where you can't even touch him?
Yeah, it is the Mahomes era, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like this era. Because there is not, I mean, other than Mahomes, who would be, whose era could it be?
I mean, you can't say Dak. He's too busy throwing to the other team.
No, Jalen Hurts is just younger, isn't he?
Hurts is younger. Tua is barely conscious enough to know what's going on. Herbert, I can't get a read on him. I can't get a read on Herbert. It's like such a dang good quarterback.
And Lamar Jackson doesn't get to manage. So when did Lamar Jackson enter the league? He was the Heisman Trophy winner in 2016. So enters the league. And I mean, why is it not Lamar Jackson's league then?
I mean, Lamar Jackson is a current modern day RG3 with better rules for quarterbacks.
Okay.
I mean, they run the same. They both have cannons for arms, and just RG3 was able to get pounded, you know?
I mean, it's not Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's NFL.
They just need to get that helmet and pair of shoes off the field, okay?
Because
when Call of Duty's out, you know Kyler's going to disappear.
All right, Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow was on it, a lot of other teams besides Cincinnati.
I'm sorry. Give me Joe Burrow over Kermit the Frog any day.
Yeah, I like Burrow, and then you've got Jordan Love with Green Bay, which I don't like Green Bay. Not a big fan of Jordan Love, but I can respect his game, what he's doing. Let's see if he can do it for a while.
For sure.
It's not Brock Purdy's league.
No.
It can't be Matthew Stafford's league.
Not anymore.
Can't be Jared Goff's league.
No.
And it's not Josh Allen's league.
Although I love Josh Allen.
It's almost his league, but yeah, Mahomes is in the way. So yeah, I would say Mahomes.
Is it really Mahomes is in the way, or is it Mahomes gets a little extra help when those two play?
You know? I don't know.
Because it almost seems like every dang time the Bills are driving and then some random thing happens. Or the Chiefs are getting stopped and then some random thing happens. It's just like, okay, what's going on? Okay, come on, come on.
Yeah, and the highlights even from last year, like showing a ball that you think is going to be measured or is 2 inches, you know, on the other side of the sticks, and then the line judge runs out there, and then all of a sudden it's first down. It's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In these high leverage situations, not just, yeah.
And even the turnover on downs for Allen. You can clearly see the ball is past the line again, and they move it back a yard. Like, hold up.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah, no, pretty ridiculous.
How do we get on football? Oh, because we're talking about Kershaw and Stafford.
It is almost football. I guess you and Matt probably covered football. And it is about that time. We're in my fantasy baseball league. As I'm towards the bottom, it's time to start thinking fantasy football and hang it up for the year and get a good draft position for next year. So here comes NFL, which is a great time. Here's the All-Star break for baseball, and then before you know it, it'll be in the playoffs. This year's moving fast. It is halfway over. 2025 is halfway over. Happy 2025.
Yeah. I mean, two real sports about to be on at the same time, so it's about to get really fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we covered baseball.
Boom. That's how we do.
Well, so we'll have to catch up right after the All-Star game.
Absolutely. We'll have some stuff to talk about then. Let's try to see if we can drop some stuff in over the celebrity softball game. See if we can kind of cover that a little bit. I thought that would be.
Let's do it.
You know, home run derby. Man, hopefully we can coordinate with Mr. Jack Wilson. Get him on here if we're able to do that. That'd be a load of fun. And maybe there's a couple others. Got a real good buddy of mine that's an umpire. See if we can get him on here and kind of get a different perspective of things. You know, the guys that everyone loves to hate and see. They're people too, okay? Yeah. Just make the right call and we won't give you a hard time.
Yeah.
May not be my right call. It's just my right call is the right call, okay?
That is a tough profession to be in.
Yes.
Umpiring Major League Baseball.
For sure.
Well, great. Good talking to you. Talking about another podcast. And until next time.
Yeah. Maybe this time we'll have the whole game together. If not, you know, we'll do another split episode and say, Matt, hurry up. Safe travels. Hope you enjoy your trip.
But, absolutely.
You know, we'll hold down the fort until he gets back.
Absolutely. Have a safe trip, Matt. Cool.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.